Chapter 33. Carter. Frank was right. Grandpa was right. Even Richie Reynolds was right. I am an idiot. The sun sets while I sit at my desk, staring at the painting still resting on the easel. She inspired it. It's a part of her, but it isn't her. It's not what I think of when I think of Emma. The idea is merely a facet of what I see in her, or more accurately, one that once was in her. Lately, she seemed less isolated. Whether it's because I know her better now, or because she is actually relaxing into her life, I don't know. What I do know is I did a terrible job of explaining that to her. This isn't the first time I've sat in my studio, considering a painting until the natural light fades from the sky, but instead of leaving me sitting in total shadow, a collection of tiny red lights pierces the swollen darkness. The television and gaming console didn't get put away after Emma showed me her presentation. She'd been so excited, she forgot to shut everything down. I look at the bright dots within the shadowy blocks. If those aren't a sign of how far Emma settled into my heart, I don't know what is. It's been so easy these past few weeks since I gave in to the urge to have her with me, to make her a space, to lure her in. Painting hasn't been this enjoyable in longer than I can remember, even before I lost the spark of inspiration. The phone calls with my agent and the calendar requests for time in New York weren't bothering me anymore. I might even say I was excited about the week of events and parties and appearances he'd lined up in a few months. I'd envisioned asking Emma to go with me. I'd even made the reservation for 2 hotel rooms. When had it changed? When did she move from something interesting to someone essential? My gaze falls on the tiny red lights once more. That was the day I fell. Or the day I started to. That was the day I knew I was all in on this relationship. She'd sat on the couch, game controller in hand, grinning up at me, gleeful that she would have all the highest scores on someone else's console. There'd been a hole in the sleeve of her sweatshirt. Her legs were curled partially beneath her, and strands of hair were coming out of one of her braids. The vision is so bright in my head, it's as if I'm back in that moment, looking down on her in the full sun, right before I kissed her for the first time, already thinking in the back of my mind that I could picture making moments like this forever. It burns from my visual memory into my chest and out through my fingers. I spin in the chair and nearly knock my lamp from the desk in my haste to turn it on. My sketchbook is still lying open on the desk, but when I snatch up a pencil, it feels wrong in my hand. My fingers fumble with it, trying to make it work like a palette or a brush, and the marks are wrong, the picture refusing to even form the basic necessary shapes. I stride across the room and hit the light switch, sending a soft glow through the room from a set of wall sconces. It isn't enough to paint or work by, but it's enough to allow me to safely set up the studio lights I use in the dead of winter. When was the last time I painted in the middle of the night? College? Doesn't matter. I'm doing it now because I have no other choice. I remove the painting from the easel, barely stopping myself from tossing it away and destroying it. Part of me recognizes that it's still a good idea. Still an amazing painting, still has the potential to impact hundreds of people. If I can ever finish it. If I can't get Emma back, I don't think that will ever happen. I pull the canvas that had been prepped with gesso for a different painting and secure it to the easel. Without a plan, and relying purely on instinct, I wheel my cart over to the paint wall and start snatching up colors and tools. My fingers are moving faster than my mind can consciously decide, but it all eases that coil of fear that's been threatening to destroy me, so I keep going. I paint. Deep into the night, I paint. When exhaustion threatens to overtake me, I clean up enough to keep any tools or paints from getting destroyed and then fall onto the couch. The sun is shining again when I finally blink my eyes open, and I take a little time to see to my hygiene and get something to eat. As soon as possible, though, I'm back in the studio, back at the painting. It goes like this for days, though I do seek out my bed for the other nights, my 31-year-old body protesting the hours spent hunched over a canvas enough that I don't want to risk stiffness from another night on the couch. It's been a long time since I worked with wet-on-wet techniques without letting the layers dry in between. I make mistakes and scrape them off with the palette knife or wipe them down with the rag and move on. I don't know how many hours I paint. I'm not sure I know how many days it's even been. Eventually, though, I stop. I step back. It's beautiful. Not because I'm an amazing artist, but because she is an amazing person. I clean up my tools, taking deep, slow breaths the entire time. A rabid monster has been inhabiting my body and mind, but it has been satiated by the finished product. Finally, my studio is set to rights, the completed painting sitting on the easel like a centerpiece. I locate my phone and find a name in my contacts. Time to call in a favor. I may not be able to find the right words to tell Emma what I think of her, but I can find a way to show her.